potatoes, 3 potatoes, 4. 5 potatoes, 6 potatoes, 7 potatoes, more. 1 potato, 2 potatoes, 3 potatoes, 4. 5 potatoes, 6 potatoes, 7 potatoes, more. Potatoes.
Welcome to the Potato League Podcast with your hosts, Dan Fleming and Tom Crossman.
Thanks, TJ.
Thank you, TJ.
Going into the song, I was very confident that it's 175, but now I'm not. Oh. Now I think it might be 176.
I have no fucking idea.
It's been either 2 or 3 weeks. I'm not even sure.
Been two.
Time moves at a different rate for me right now. I don't know what things feel like. They happened 2 minutes ago and all at the same time like a month ago.
Yep. Totally understand that.
September has been like a blur to me.
September sucked.
I just watched my first... I'm sorry. I just, other than, you know, when we went to It, I just watched my first movie of the month last night. Like,
wow.
At home watch.
Yeah.
And it's the 28th. Well, now it's the 29th. So, I'm really glad that I front-loaded my yearly movie watch, trying to get to 100 by, you know, I had like 30-something to the first 2 months, because I've watched, like, I think I watched like 4 last month, 2 this month, and... Yeah, so now I think I'm actually on the pace, because you'd have to watch like 8.5 movies a month to get to 100, and I think last night was 76, so I've got 3 months left to watch the last 25, which is, you know, roughly 8 a month, or I guess it would be exactly, because I think that was 76, then 24. So, and I watched the Sisters Brothers last night.
Ah.
It's fine.
It was fine.
I had some issues with it, but... I loved everyone involved with it, and it was pretty.
Yeah.
So
one of those movies that you watch and go, hey, that's good, and then you forget.
Oh, yeah, I'll never watch it again, yeah.
It's not going to be anyone's favorite movie of all time.
No.
It's not going to be anyone's favorite Western.
No.
Not even, like, anyone's favorite John C. Reilly film.
No, and I was going to watch my next one. I was going back and forth between either watching that or Hard Eight. Because Hard Eight is on... I know, I think I made the wrong choice.
You made the wrong choice.
Well, I knew I made the wrong... I knew going in I was making the wrong choice quality-wise.
Yeah.
As far as... But I don't... I think I want... I didn't think... I didn't want anything heavy.
What is that available on?
It's on... it just came on Amazon Prime.
Okay, good. I haven't seen that since the VHS days.
Yeah, it's...
Because, like, the DVD
you may
is
want to double check
way
that.
Out of print.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So there is no Blu-ray? I think we've talked about this before.
Which is weird, because it's Paul Thomas Anderson's first film.
Yeah.
You think it would be available.
Yeah, it's on... It just got on to... And I'm pretty sure it's Amazon Prime. Double check that. It's either Amazon Prime or... Where did I watch? Yes, it is. Because I watched Sisters Brothers on Hulu, and that was separate, I believe. In any event, I went for the... What I would think was the lighter of the two last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it was, but... Sisters Brothers was okay. I felt like, and I don't want to regurgitate things you said, so I don't know if this, and I don't remember exactly how you put it.
I don't even remember what I said about it anymore.
So this will all sound new. If I am just remembering what you said, but it felt like it was, they never decided what the movie was.
Yeah.
It kind of changed movies halfway through and then kind of went back to something else and then never really kind of ended.
Yeah, that's accurate.
Nothing was really wrapped up.
Correct.
There were... And I don't know if this was kind of trying to be artsy and stuff, but there were a lot of things introduced in the movie that you thought were going to come back and then just never did.
Yeah.
So it's almost weird. Like you want to say, well, why did you waste screen time with the prostitute scene if you were never gonna get back to that?
It almost seems like there's a longer cut of the movie somewhere.
God, that was already like 2 hours and 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
I didn't need it to be any longer. I was, and the other thing is, there's a great cameo at the end of it, but it's almost like it doesn't go anywhere. And I know it's the end of the movie, and wouldn't be giving it away or anything, but Carol Kane is at the end of it. is their mother.
You gave it all away to every Carol Kane fan.
Yeah.
It's not like she shows up in the movie before that.
Right, and it's just, it's almost
or
like a...
maybe you made the movie more marketable now.
Yeah, but it's just weird that she has this, you know, it's a cameo where I went, oh my God, it's Carol Kane. Well, at first you can't really tell because she's much older than we've seen, you know, the things that you love her in. Yeah. And but as soon as she talks, it's like, oh, yeah, that's definitely
she
her.
She looks like she did in The Princess Bride.
Yes. Now that's stretching it a little bit. Yeah. But yeah, no, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
My two favorite Carol Kanes are Princess Bride and Scrooged.
Yeah.
Are awesome. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and it seems like it was almost a cameo for cameo's sake, because I don't think anyone knew how to end this movie. I learned after I looked it up. It is based on a novel, and a lot of times that style of novel doesn't work for even a 2-hour and 20-minute movie. It needs to be, and I think that's why they try to jam everything into it. They could have cut sections entirely out.
Yeah.
And that's when novels like that work best in film, is when you gotta excise some storylines.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole Red Scarf thing didn't need to be in there at all.
Yeah.
Because it never paid off. And I mean, at the end of the day, it's a pretty simple allegory of, you know, greed and just take what you've got and go. And not, you know, instead of, you're eventually going to get literally chemically burned by by your bad decisions and your greed. And then there was a lot of Johnny Tremaine / Jamie Lannister in it with you can tell I work in a middle school now, don't you?
Because the bane of every 6 boys reading this, Johnny Tremaine.
The classic story of the haughty person who, once they lose the one thing that makes them special, all of a sudden you realize what a piece of shit they are.
Well, Johnny Tremaine had a bad hand too, so the Lannister allegory is...
Right, that's what I mean, because didn't he spill, like, molten something silver on his hand, and it ruined his silversmithing or whatever.
Yeah.
Much like that, in his greed, Joaquin Phoenix, sister's brother, Charlie sisters, dumps the
bioluminescent
acid, bioluminescent caustic goo all over his arm and has to have it amputated.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, killing Jake Gyllenhaal and Riz Ahmed. That whole storyline, it seemed like it was just a means to the end when it... You can't have something that kind of fantastical be like a literally a 10-minute section of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. It almost felt like that was leading to something, but it almost wasn't. It was just, this is what happens when you get too greedy.
Yep.
And it was just one impulsive, dumb thing that he does, and it ruins everything. But I don't know. But at the end of the day, it's like I said at the beginning, I think I gave it a 3.5 stars.
That's about what it was for me, too.
Yeah. Awesome cast. Mm-hmm. I liked the way it was shot for the most part, because they did a lot of those, maybe too many, but where you have kind of an untraditional camera angle on a conversation and they leave it there.
Yeah.
Like, you might see a whole conversation from ground POV of two characters that are sitting at a table, and they'll leave it there, which I always find that interesting in conversation scenes, because it makes it more interesting than just straight on documentary style camera placement. But so I liked all that stuff about it. I just didn't think the story wasn't as cohesive and tight as it should have been. But what the hell do I know? It's only the second movie I watched this month.
You gotta practice.
Aunt Becky is probably puckering a little bit right now. The court date is, I believe it's next week. I think it's like October 3rd or something, which would be... Yeah, like Thursday. So things are gonna start happening for Aunt Becky. In the meantime, one of the judges in the... everyone that pled guilty had ruled that no prison sentence will exceed 6 months for any of those people, which, okay. A whole argument can be made about how no one deserves to go to jail for 40 years for what Aunt Becky did. I agree with that, but...
Don't give your max away in advance.
Yeah, and I also... But you can't do that in the same country where if you're brown and you get caught with a dime bag, you get 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, you can't...
Yeah.
I agree that there should be less jail time for both of those people, but
only one's going to happen.
Exactly. Yeah. That's
what, and they're picking the wrong one.
And they, those two things don't have to be mutually exclusive. You can think that Felicity Huffman got off light and also think that she didn't deserve to go to jail at all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Well, although I think what she got is fine. But in comparison to what other people get for similar or less criminal crimes, I don't even know how to put that. Yeah, we got a criminal justice problem.
Yeah.
We spend way too much money. There's way too much money in keeping people in prison. That's the problem.
That's because there's money to be made.
That's what I'm saying. There's too much profit to be made in...
We spend the money to put them in there. Someone else is spending the money to is making the money keeping them there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's a multi-layered... Did he miss that field goal? That was a fucking chip shot. What an asshole. Well, so that's where Aunt Becky is. I think I think it's this week, so we'll have more. We'll finally have some actual Aunt Becky news instead of sources say type Aunt Becky news, or peripheral Aunt Becky news. So there was that. There was sisters, brothers. How was your Stephen King September? Stephen King September just got blown up.
Basically. It pretty much did. Well, I managed to watch quite a few of the movies on my list, but no, I have not been able to read as much as I've wanted to.
I think Stephen King September is going to turn into Stephen King Fall.
I would be okay with that.
When does Dr. Sleep come out?
November.
I'm making better than average progress on Dr. Sleep, which is to say I'm like 80 pages in.
Hey, you're getting there, man.
I like it. It's keeping me interested. It's he does a really good job, as he does in everything. He does a really good job You feel Dan's alcoholism.
Yeah.
You know, like the... You feel it.
Yeah.
And it's really... It's good. It's well written, but it's also kind of uncomfortable and gross.
Yeah. I mean, it's much with what he does. It's a man, you know, reckoning with his past and what it's caused him to become.
And not handling it well.
No, there's trauma all over the place in this book. And I think it's well written.
And he knows what a piece of shit he is.
Yeah.
That's the hard part. Yeah, that's the hard part. When you're self-aware at what a piece of shit you are.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's the whole scene of him, he knows how awful it is to steal from, what's her name? Mm. Or he stole a homeless guy's blanket. Like, yeah. Dude.
Yeah.
Dude. And then just left it in the gutter.
Yeah.
He stole the last $70 from, you know, albeit not a great young single mother, but a single mother with a toddler.
Yep.
Like, what a piece of shit. You know?
Man. You're not that cute kid on the trike anymore.
No, you are not. But I do, it's very well written, like all of his stuff. I haven't really gotten into anything, you know, like the meat of the story or anything like that.
Yeah.
Just the brief thing at the beginning where the vampire-like thing sucked the breath out of the one girl.
Yeah, the true knot.
Sure.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's just been Dan's alcoholism that we've been going over. He just got a job. He just got a job working on like this model train type thing. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah. I'm about a little over 100 pages into The Institute. Again, it's reading really well. It's introduced you to a character who is a big chunk at the beginning of the book, and then it goes away from him completely. So I'll be interested to see where that comes back into play. Especially since it's in a different...
That's how Mr. Mercedes was. Yeah,
it's a different part of the country, too, than the Institute, where the Institute is. Because the Institute sounds like it's in the western fucking mountains of Maine. And this guy's down south.
Now, were we at all on about thinking it had something to do with the shop or shop-like?
It doesn't.
No?
It's very shop-like. But, I mean, it's studying kids who have telekinesis and telepathy.
Yeah, so that's totally different.
Yeah. It warehouses them in a unit. It basically kidnaps these kids from their families and then puts them in place and does tests on them.
Gotcha.
And doesn't treat them terribly well. But tries to pretend like they treat them well, much like George C. Scott's character.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, when he was, you know, befriending Charlie.
You know, and playing a Native American.
Yes.
George C. Scott. playing
a pedophile Native American.
Yes.
That's a problematic character, to say the least. Even more problematic in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
But, but it's really good. I'll catch up more to it. Like, I told it to you yesterday, so I can announce it on there. I'm back on leave again.
Yep.
I came to the realization that I had one day off in September. And I technically had three. Two of those I was deathly sick.
Yeah.
And I went to my bosses on, like, Wednesday. And I'm like, I need help. I've had one day off. Because we've been approximately four employees short. Four full-time employees short. And what we do is we have an on-call person whose responsibility it is, if shifts don't get covered, it's their responsibility to go in. Well, my on-call week was like 2 weeks ago, and I ended up working like 65 fucking hours. Since then, I've still continued to work about 65 fucking hours.
Yeah.
And this past week, they told me, well, the on guy, he's not going to cover any more shifts this week, the on-call guy. You're going to have to cover him. I'm like, well, why can't he? He's worked too much this week.
Hmm.
It's affecting his, and this is what really drew a line for, it's affecting his billing.
Oh.
And I was just like, fuck you then. So, I like went to my doctor that afternoon. My blood pressure was jacked.
Again?
Higher than it's been in months. And she's like, she put me on, she gave me a new med to take in emergency situations. Fucking clonidine.
Mm.
Which made me go, oh, damn it. I don't want to have to take fucking clonidine for any reason. And then by Friday, I'd gotten the note saying, nope, you're good to go. You're off until November 1st.
Well, so, yeah.
And it'll be past the point where my FMLA leave will be up, and I might not have the same job to go back to. I don't care at this point.
Yeah.
I'm like, this job, they're actively trying to murder me.
Well, it's not, your job's not worth your life, people.
Yeah.
That's a lesson I have learned. It's a lesson you are currently learning.
Especially when it's just like, all they had to do is hire people.
Yeah.
But their process for hiring people takes like a month from the date of the interview. And people don't wait around.
That's kind of Robin's issue at work, too, is turnover. She's like in a constant stasis of training the next person.
Yeah.
And so, like, when does she do her job?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God help me. Yeah, and if we had hired three new people, it would have been my job to train them.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So it's just like, and the thing that other brought, the person above me never comes in. Never offered to cover shit. Never did anything.
So, you know,
that's... And I'm just like, fuck you.
Yeah.
You can't expect people to work themselves to death if you're going to not do anything.
Well, yeah, don't ask people below you to do anything that you wouldn't do yourself. Mm-hmm. Within reason.
Yeah. So... God, Miami actually plays in Hard Rock Stadium. God, that's terrible. That's befitting their record.
The Austin Eckler stuff is not helping me, though.
Yeah, so I decided I'm done. So, like, I'm expecting my October viewing will be much, much better.
Oh, I would imagine.
I'll have a lot more free time. So, we'll see what happens. But I managed... I'm trying to think of what I did get to see. Let me bring out the old letterboxed.
While you're doing that, just real quick, this week in Batman-related news, the Joker is getting really good reviews.
Yes.
And I think I was on board anyway, but now I think I'm getting excited for it. And Jonah Hill has been hired as a mystery villain for the Batman, and I am hoping it's Mad Hatter.
God, I hope so. Just because, again, someone we've never seen.
Yeah, and I think he makes...
Oh,
he can be great. He can be creepy pedophile killer.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, Jonah Hill. I didn't mean
I'm not. I'm not. Jonah, you can pull that off like nobody's business.
Yeah, I hope that's what it is, because they are. I'm both happy, excited, and a little slash a lot worried that this is going to be apparently Long Halloween.
Yeah.
Did you hear that? That's what this was. Does that make you nervous at all?
Yes, because that's too much.
Yeah,
that's way too much to fit in.
I think if they make it Long Halloween but. See, and it's hard to do this when it's so structured.
Yeah. You can't do every holiday.
Exactly.
You just can't. That's in a 2-hour film. That's 10 minutes for every holiday.
Right.
You can't do that.
So I'm a little nervous about that. I'm excited because it's I mean, it's generally considered the at worst a top three Batman story.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Oh yeah.
For a lot of people, it's number one. For me, it's very near the top. So for that reason, I'm excited. But like you said, it might be a tough. This would be a great 10-hour series,
mm-hmm.
or actually, I guess 12-hour series would be more appropriate.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know if they can do it justice in even if it's 2.5 hours, 3 hours long.
I don't think they can.
They're gonna have to cut down dramatically stuff, and I would think maybe lump some of the villains into one.
Well, just the fact that the Calendar Man.
Yeah.
And, like, people know most of Batman's villains. Nobody knows the fucking Calendar Man. So you're gonna need some time on him.
And that's okay. I was wondering what you're getting to. But yes, absolutely.
You can shorthand 50% of the other villains pretty easy.
Yeah.
But some of them you're like, oh, okay, we need to... This is a deep dive villain.
Yeah, and but I'm excited that that's... I mean, I think at some point you have to. You can't just keep throwing the Joker out there.
No.
Even though the Joker works every time.
Yeah.
It's less interesting.
But, I mean, how cool would it be to have, like, a human trafficking ring that Mad Hatter's behind?
Yeah.
Something really fucking dark like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, is there anything on time frame? Do we know when this is?
No.
Would they have the balls to make it in the 80s and tie it loosely into... So that at least, the very least, the Joker could have just been happening 15 years before it?
Mm, maybe.
Because in the Joker, he sees a 10-year-old or whatever Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
So, and it takes place, by the looks, early to mid-70s.
Yeah.
I don't like the idea of, I know that they said they were explicitly moving away from the shared universe thing, but...
Are they?
Are they, though?
Are they really?
I mean, we know they are, at least to the point of there is a different Batman.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, obviously they're not going to... Well, I wouldn't put anything past anyone, especially considering the MCU stuff this week, which literally everyone called.
Yeah.
Is that it wouldn't, they're not going to, I can't imagine them throwing Robert Pattinson's Batman in with, dude bro Aquaman. I just can't picture it.
That would look weird.
It would. Or even to suggest that the Joaquin Phoenix character lives or lived at one point in the same universe as
Jared Leto.
as the Jared Leto one or dude bro Aquaman. I don't know. I think it would be cool if they did if there was just a whole separate DCEU that was 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
And never left those two eras.
I'd be good with it.
And you had, you could still have Wonder Woman there because there's going to be, oh my God, there's a Woman 84.
Yep.
They're doing this, Dan.
Maybe.
Nah.
I don't have a lot of faith in DC to be that, have that much forethought right now.
No, I kind of don't either. The other thing I noticed this week that I had... It's seemingly we all kind of forgot about it, except for when the trailer dropped. There's a Star Wars movie in, 2 months.
Yep.
Or 3 months, I guess. Two and a half months. Early December?
Yeah.
Okay, so a little over 2 months. And that Kevin Feige is going to produce Star Wars.
That's a smart choice on their part.
Did you see Patton Oswalt's tweet?
Yes.
Oh my God, what have I done?
Well, he called it.
Yeah, referencing back
to his Parks and Rec days.
If you listen to this podcast at all, we're big Parks and Rec people, and Patton Oswalt has one of the best scenes in Parks and Rec history. Definitely for guest spots in Parks and Rec history where he has to filibuster. I can't remember what they were voting on. But he has to filibuster the town council, and he does it by going on this long tirade of what he would do with the Marvel Cinematic Universe and tie it to Star Wars
Which just sounded absurd.
Yeah.
And then, you're like, it can happen.
This stuff has happened.
Yeah.
Very funny. And there's a cut on YouTube. The scene in the show is 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, but they had like there's a full 8-minute version.
It's like 8 minutes of him, and it's all just riffing off the cuff. He's not reading anything.
Someone went and animated it, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And he never stops. He never takes a break or anything. It's just one solid cut, and you can see the people. Like, you can see Chris Pratt in the background just laughing his ass off. Yeah, it's pretty funny. Was that pre-Guardians? Yeah, it had to have been.
Yeah.
It would have been close to it, though.
Yeah. Because it pre.
Yeah. So what did you find? Did you look up
your
stuff?
Yeah, I watched one movie that was not Stephen King related.
Okay.
Which was actually quite good. It's been making the rounds at a lot of festivals, and I just happened to get like a digital code for it from one of my online people that I talk horror shit with. A movie by Jeff Bezos called Bliss. It's not a unusual story. It's about a painter, this woman painter, who is going through an artist block and just starts using drugs to try to get through the block.
Yep.
And then shit goes bizarre.
No.
Yeah. Not an unusual story, but handled incredibly well. Very well directed. Very, very disorienting film. It feels very much like you're going down the rabbit hole with her. With the visuals.
I was going to say, is it disorienting because poorly made? Or?
No. Really well-made film. Really well-made film. And what surprised me the most, cameo by George Wendt.
What? Like Norm?
Yeah! He plays her drug dealer's dad.
It would have been great if it was This is Norm 30 years later.
Could be. Still got an alcohol problem.
he's still drinking.
No, he is. You only ever see him drinking and playing cards.
Yeah.
So it's with one of the old guys from ER back in the day, like one of the orderlies.
Oh, yeah.
Where I was like, I recognize that guy, but I couldn't picture where. And then I found out. I'm like, oh, okay. But really fucking good movie. It got a lot of good word of mouth at Fantastic Fest this past weekend, and I can see why.
Yeah.
It'll make a hell of a Blu-ray. Hell of a Blu-ray. Probably won't come out for like another 6 or 7 months. But I really enjoyed it.
So how did you get?
I have a bunch of people that I talk horror with on Facebook.
But it was like a digital only?
Digital iTunes code.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah. Where it's only available. Yeah. It's not available anywhere yet to actually rent or own. And it was just purchased. No, you could rent it on VOD right now.
Oh, yeah.
True, but yeah. But he gave me the code to own it, so. Really, really fucking good.
So what did you watch for King?
Finally watched Rose Red, which I had never seen.
I've never read it either.
It's
That's in that neighborhood where of ones.
Oh, it's
that
not
just
an actual book. It was a screenplay only.
What am I? Oh, I'm thinking of Rose Matter.
Yeah. Rose Red, it's basically his version of House on Haunted Hill.
Okay.
But back in the 90s, or 2002 was when it came out. Way too long. Way too long.
How long is way too long?
Like 5 hours, I think it was.
Wait, what?
It was a miniseries.
Okay.
I get prototype. It's like the step between the Haunting movie and last year's Haunting of Hill House.
Yeah.
It didn't commit too far either way, and it kind of fell into that ground where you're like, you didn't spend enough time, but you spent too much time.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't super compelling, to be honest.
Yeah, this either needed to be way longer or way shorter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched 1408 for the first time in a while. Still a solid, like, 3.5 film for me. It's the one with John Cusack and Sam Jackson.
That was a short story, right?
Yeah. Watch Secret Window again. That film was just disappointing.
Is that the Johnny Depp one?
Yes.
I remember, like, not even finishing
it. Yeah.
Like,
well, it's one of those films where I'm like, this film would have been much, much better if this had not been Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
You needed an interesting, like, the other, the, spoiler, the projection of himself in the film, the John Turturro character, would have been way more interesting in the Johnny Depp role.
Yeah.
It was just, he's too famous to be in that role, I think.
Yeah, I just remember I couldn't even finish it. It was, like, boring.
I rewatched The Dark Tower for the first time in a while.
Oh, yeah?
It's still fun.
See, I like that movie.
I gave it a solid 3.
Yeah, I like that movie.
Yeah.
Well, that might be a stretch. I didn't hate that movie.
Watched The Mangler on Blu-ray for the first time in the uncut edition.
Oh, well, that's the way it's meant to be viewed.
That was how it was intended by Tobe Hooper. Still blows my mind it's a fucking Tobe Hooper film starring Robert Englund. But,
that's interesting.
Yeah. With Ted Levine.
Oh, yeah, we talked about this? Yeah, now it's coming back.
It was a fine film. Also watched Gerald's Game again for the first time, I think, since it came out.
I never watched that.
Oh, you should. It's so good. It holds Maybe up I will. Well. It pisses me off that it's a Netflix original and I can't have it on my fucking shelf.
Yeah. Oh, did you have... I know you haven't watched it yet because you haven't mentioned it, but it's a newer one on Netflix that's been making the... Not really horror rounds, but about the serial killer. It's kind of sci-fi-y horror slash murder mystery.
Oh, yeah. I'm forgetting what
It's got a longish name.
It's Jim Mickle. It just came out like 2 days ago.
Yeah, it's got the guy that's in Logan and the other thing.
I love Jim Mickle as a director. He makes a lot of good shit. And he's been a very low-budget horror film director for most of his time.
Yeah.
He's the one who did the one with the Western with...
Michael
C. Hall and Don Johnson.
Cold July?
Cold July, yes.
Yeah, because it was the Flick Connection guy that I often refer to. Did a review on it that I watched last night, and now
it's on my list, but I haven't watched it yet. But it looks really good. What else? In the Tall Grass will be coming out soon on Netflix too. The Joe Hill Stephen King short story.
In the Shadow of the Moon. It was right on the front. Yeah,
yeah.
What the hell is that guy's name? It says it's sci-fi drama, mind-bending thriller, time travel. Those are just the words that are underneath it.
Those are words.
Those are some words to describe this thing. Mm-hmm. Boyd Holbrook. I would have pulled that name.
No.
But the guy from Logan and something else.
Yeah.
And I guess it takes place in like three or four different time periods because the killings happen every 9 years. So you see him like as a rookie and then as kind of like a mid-career detective or whatever. And then
going the true detective route.
Yeah. So I think it was lengthy. I think that's why I passed on it last night and why I picked Sisters Brothers then. I don't know. But I'll try to watch that one.
Yeah, I started watching Midsummer this morning and then realized I shouldn't be watching this in the morning.
Okay, so this was the follow-up to...
Hereditary.
Hereditary, which was everyone's favorite horror from last year.
Mm-hmm.
What is this?
It's much like Hereditary, where there's a lot of trauma involved. I only watched like the first 20 minutes, and it's like in the first 20 minutes, this young girl who is having a rough relationship with her boyfriend. Her boyfriend wants to break up with her, but you don't know that yet. Well, you know that, but she doesn't know that yet because he's talking about it with his buddies.
Sure, yeah.
She's all like, Jesus Christ, he wants to get out
she's
of this.
She's dating Jesus?
She should be. It would do better for her. But she's all like, I know he doesn't love me. And she's talking about it in front of a friend. But meanwhile, her sister is also like manic depressive, bipolar, suicidal. And in the first, like, 20 minutes of the film, the sister commits suicide and murders her parents all in the same thing.
Sweet.
By hooking up hoses to the cars in the garage and running them through the house and duct taping up the bedroom.
See, now that just feels like a lot of work to me.
So then, obviously, the guy's not going to break up with the girl.
Right.
Because, her parents and sister just died.
Right.
But he needs to go to... Well, he doesn't need to. He wants to go to Sweden with his three friends for this Midsummer celebration because they're all one of them it's Chidi actually from he's studying for his thesis on,
is it on philosophy is it on moral philosophy
no which would have been great it is on Eastern European festivities the history of it I'm guessing ethics will come into play at some point but
Season 3 now on Hulu, by the way, and I'm finally into it, so...
The boyfriend ends up inviting her along, hoping that she won't go.
Yeah.
But she does.
Of course she does.
And that's where I'm at.
Okay.
So, she doesn't want to be there, they don't want her there, and things are going to go horribly. And everyone is really sad.
Yay!
But it's a phenomenally made film already, I can tell.
Yeah.
It's just every... There's some shots in this that are just fucking gorgeous. But the... You'll be interested. I bought it digitally.
Huh.
Because...
On what platform?
iTunes.
Okay. Okay.
Because the director's cut is exclusively on Apple TV.
Ah. See, so now you need to make sure you have a Movies Anywhere account, and then it will just automatically put it on. You can watch it on YouTube.
Yeah. But it's annoying.
Or Amazon Prime.
Because it is coming out on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
But only the theatrical cut.
That seems like a misstep.
It does.
To me.
Because it seems to me, I'm hoping Apple paid them a fuckload of money, because you pretty much shot yourself in the foot for the physical release.
Yeah.
Depending on what the special features are on the release, it is dependent on whether or not I'll buy it right away.
Well, I'm sure Apple just did some arithmetic and how many Blu-rays is this going to sell, you know, and then...
Yeah, because they ended up releasing the director's cut in the theater, like, recently to a few small theaters, and people are like, I mean, that movie was good.
Yeah.
Now it's fucking great.
Yeah.
It's like, it needed this extra... It's almost 3 fucking hours long.
Yeah.
But they're like, those extra 20 minutes changed the film for the better.
Yeah.
So I fucking bought it. Long story short, I fucking bought it digitally. Well, the first thing I've bought an exclusively digital in forever.
Well, I have two sort of digital stories. One is I redeemed my monthly Verizon Up point. It's usually there aren't many options to get anything. It's just something dumb that you get every month from Verizon. It's usually like you have a choice between a $3 Starbucks gift card or stuff like that. Every like 6 months or so, it's a choice of like one of 10 digital movies. Mm-hmm. Usually the choices are not great.
Yeah.
So the one that this was the best option. I picked the Liam Neeson snowplow truck movie,
that Cold Pursuit. Fun, though.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna watch it.
Heck yeah.
But yeah, the other options were just
I can imagine
awful. Yeah. Awful.
Barely above direct-to-DVD shit. You
know? Yeah, and, like, although one of them was, I could have got all four Rambos.
Oh.
But I chose the unwatched thing. I chose the unknown over four
Wait
Rambo
Wait till they
movies.
Offer all five
Yeah,
Rambo
that's,
films.
That's, yes.
Which, by the way, apparently that film, people are like, what
Pissed.
The fuck
yeah.
is this film about?
Yeah, I heard, I saw
like,
that.
It doesn't surprise me at all that it went super white, right-wing fantasy.
Yeah.
Because, did anyone ever see First Blood Part 2?
Right.
That was straight up Reagan hard-on.
Oh, yeah.
Right
oh, yeah.
There. So, I know, just the writer of the original book was just like, I'm ashamed to have my name on this.
Yeah. And it does it. Yeah, it's weird when franchises go so far from what the first movie, not just the source material, but the first movie. Like the First Blood is like a legit good movie.
Oh, it's great. I love it.
And not just in it's a good action, because it's not really a great. No, it's a okay.
There is action,
actually,
but yeah, it's not like helicopters and shit.
Right. It's not like good in the way that Die Hard is good. I guess is what I'm saying. And then to what it was, like, even First Blood Part 2 and just the dreck that came after it. This one is the fifth one.
Yeah, because there was the third, which was also garbage.
Yeah.
And then they just did, like, straight up, I think they called it Rambo, about 8 years ago.
Right.
Which wasn't bad, but not great.
Yeah. So.
But they definitely tried to old man Logan this one.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, because it's like a girl is kidnapped and he's out to go get her.
Yeah.
And in the meanwhile, kills all of Mexico.
It's also hard to buy Sylvester Stallone in any kind of a gritty role because he's had so much facial work done that's so obvious.
Mm-hmm.
It's like John Rambo has not had his cheeks chiseled or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's just hard to buy...
Yeah.
Like, these older actors that have had a ton of work done in any role where they would be playing someone where that would never even be an option.
Especially someone who's lived the life he has.
Yeah, exactly.
He's going to look old as fuck 20 years before he should.
Yeah. He's not... His face isn't all shiny with, you know... yeah. It takes you right out of stuff like that. Or you're never in to begin with.
Yeah.
On that character. When they look that ridiculous. No offense to... You've had a great career, Sly.
Yeah.
But
this is one of the characters to retire.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you just can't play this guy anymore because you don't look like he would look.
Yeah, I was hoping if they were going to do this, they were going to, like, almost... Make, I don't know if he does die in this film. Who the fuck knows?
Who cares?
But this should have been, like, the end of Rambo.
Yeah.
Like, maybe this was just too much.
It would be funny if they had him, if it was just like the exact beat for beat Logan. He dies leaning up against a tree, yeah, against a younger version of himself or some shit. Yeah, I don't know. Did you watch anything else?
No, that was it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, one of the reasons that I have not, my main reasons for not watching so many movies this month, obviously I started a new job, so that takes up a big part of my time, obviously. It's football season, so that's a lot of my spare listening time, like my, you know, you watch the podcasts and whatnot. And also Borderlands. Jeez, they just scored another defensive touchdown.
Wow. Well, it's good thing because their offense is sucking.
Yeah, which is kind of surprising. But, well, actually, I guess it's not. Buffalo's defense is actually pretty good. I'm probably... Actually, I don't know how many
hours... Never mind,
hours
they called it incomplete.
What are they...
Oh,
oh yeah. Okay, they're calling it a complete pass. Gotcha. Borderlands 3 is, it's more Borderlands. So if you liked 1 and 2, you're gonna like this. I don't think the writing is as tight as it was. Storyline writing is as tight as the first two movies. First two games, but the... Like, the random dialogue from, like, side characters and stuff is still... phenomenal. Like every and they bring back a lot of the old characters and stuff from the previous games, and which I really appreciate. There's and they've changed over time. Like one who that is like a 10-year-old girl in the first, or actually in the second one, is now she's an adult. And I just got to her last night, and I was like, oh, Tina's back. And I've done that a bunch of times, because you forget, because the last one, Borderlands 2, was 2011, so, and one was 2009, so they came out bang, bang, and then there's just been nothing. Tilly's home, hold on, I gotta at least acknowledge her, stand by. All right, we're back. We got a, it was a letter from Colin to let us know that Pete, my dog, looks hungry. We went upstairs to find Pete passed out.
Yeah.
Clearly has not moved in hours. Yeah. Is not going to.
It's like, are you sure you're not hungry, Colin?
Well, I made...
Pete looks hungry, asking for a friend.
Yeah. All right, I think Pete might want chili dogs. I made chili at about 11 o'clock. It's smelling pretty good.
Yes,
I think it came out pretty good. I really need to write down what I do when I do it, because I don't really, I just loosely go by the recipe, and I add a lot of my own stuff in. I double the amount of chili powder they call for.
That's how I am when I make chili. Like, if someone said, oh, could you make that again?
No.
I don't know.
So, like, I tried it today, and I was like, wow, this came out really good, and I have no idea what I did.
Yep. I'm the same way. I use, like, the same sets of spices.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't get out teaspoons and tablespoons and all that shit. I just shake. And taste, and shake, and taste.
Yeah.
And sometimes it tastes much better than it did the time before for no real reason.
Right. I think maybe one of the things I did a little different than normal is I put way more garlic powder than I usually do, which most people don't put in chili, but I put garlic... You can put garlic powder in literally anything.
Yeah.
Especially any red sauce. It goes very good with tomato. That, and I also... What else did I put more of than... I put more... I actually, just spices in general, I put more of them. Like, I put more cumin than most recipes would call for. I also put twice as many beans in as the recipe calls for.
I put way more vegetables in than other people put into.
Yeah, see, mine is a total vegetable-less chili.
Mine has, like, fucking corn and peppers and onion and...
I do like corn and chili. Yeah, I think the recipe that I go by calls for, like... one can of garbanzo beans and one can of chili beans, and I put two of both.
Oh,
yeah,
hell yeah.
And it also says to drain the chili beans. Fuck you.
Why? Why? It's just adding more sauce.
Exactly. Although I do think if there's any problem with this chili, it looks a little watery, but I think it's pretty good. It came out good. We were talking about Borderlands. That's what it was. Is that something that you would ever get into?
Probably not, because I've never really played any of them.
Yeah.
Well, I've watched, like, the kids at work play it all the time, and it looks fun.
I think you can get the remastered versions of 1, 2, and then the kind of sub one for, like, $20.
Oh, wow.
Maybe. Hmm. So it might... And like we talked about before, when I talked about it a couple weeks ago, that art style holds up, because it's not... It doesn't look dated. Mm-hmm. Borderlands 3 just looks like... Borderlands 2, which was great.
Yeah.
Some people, that was a complaint, but like with that art style, that's what it's going to look like every time. It's never going to look better or worse than that.
Yeah.
And that's, it's a timeless art style. But I'm really enjoying it. I think I just hit level 25 and the level cap is 50. So I don't know if that's any kind of gauge as to how far into it I am, but the only thing that I have, my complaint is, it usually in games like Borderlands, and I think also, I think in the old Borderlands games, I always had more missions that I could even keep track of. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, that's definitely the way it is in Assassin's Creed games and in Far Cry games, Ubi games, basically. You have, like, 1,000 side missions that you'll never get to.
Yeah.
Or if you do, you know, you could do nothing but side missions for days.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas on this, I have a couple times, because Borderlands, even though it looks like a, you know, a standard first-person shooter type thing, it's an RPG. Mm-hmm. It just has really, really good gunplay. It's you know, it's not as RPG-ish as Fallout by any means, which is still a Western RPG. But it's an RPG, and I have so far twice gotten to points where, and by the way, I'm playing it solo. It's also, I wouldn't say meant to be played with at least, you know, 2 to 4 people, but it's meant to be played with 2 to 4 people. But I go through stuff like this solo. That's no big surprise. And I have twice gotten to a boss that I was not ready for and didn't have any side missions to bulk myself up on. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I kind of had to search out things to do to level up differently and then just kind of go at the boss differently, which I guess is a testament to the game design. But on the other side, on the other hand, with an RPG style game, I want to at least have the option, if I want to grind my ass off at the beginning and then just cakewalk through the game. Yeah. Sometimes that's fun. Like twice I got into encounters where I was just completely overmatched, and didn't have the weapons or the health or leveling to take on what I was taking on. So and I don't know if that's a failure on my part to find where there are more side missions, but usually you just fall on them.
You don't have to find them. You don't have to seek them out.
Yeah, they are in your path. You run into them. And I've been pretty extensive as far as going around, you know, every new map area and covering everywhere. So it's not that. I think a lot of it is you can't, you know, mission one or side mission five doesn't open up until you've done main mission three or whatever in a lot of, you know what I mean, in a lot of cases. But that's been my only complaint. Otherwise, it's just a lot more Borderlands. It's still funny. I think I said earlier, the story, I've played most of it with Fear Inoculum on in the background, because after the first couple hours, I was like, I'm not really into this story.
Yeah.
I still like the side conversations with the side characters, but I'm not paying attention to the story. I mean, I know what's going on, but I'm not really listening.
Not super heavy invested.
Yeah, so enough so that I've had music on most of the time that I'm playing it. But it is the style of game where you can do that. Mm-hmm. And I like that, so short episode today, but I think we can close on Last of Us Part 2.
Yeah, I actually read an interesting article this morning. Well, I wouldn't say interesting, I'd say more obvious. Where Naughty Dog explains why Last of Us 2 will not be an open world game. And I'm like, okay, first off, who's asking for that?
Yeah.
Probably, because I mean, they compared it to like Fallout and stuff like that, but they're like, they're saying it is a bigger world than prior.
Yes,
but they're like, we like to keep attention in the story.
Yes,
and you can't have a tense situation if it's you must do this now,
right?
Or go collect cans,
exactly.
You know, type of thing.
Yeah, we've long make fun because we love it. Mm-hmm. Make fun of Fallout because they try to have these. I put try in quotation marks. Mm-hmm. to have, like, this engaging story, but, yeah, it's hard to be like, hey, I gotta go save my baby. Let me look around in this gas station first, see if there's any bottle caps.
I need to build a civilization before we do anything else.
So, yeah, you can't do that with a narrative drip. You're never gonna get that from a Naughty Dog game.
Yeah. But we did see the new trailer.
Yes.
And holy fuck, that's good.
Yeah, new trailer.
What a great trailer.
And long trailer.
Yep.
And official release date, although I felt like we already sort of knew that was the
release
date.
Everyone was saying. As soon as they announced the Death Stranding date,
they
were like, oh, Last of Us is February.
Yeah. And that's the date that made the most sense. Although I'm kind of pissed because now that I work in a school system, it comes out on the Friday of February vacation.
Oh.
It would have been much better for me had it been at least a traditional Tuesday release. Then I could have gone in Monday night at midnight and had all week to play it.
Yeah.
But instead, it's coming out on a fucking Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Really interesting. If you're expecting... you're now playing as Ellie. You're playing as an Ellie 10 years older. For those who don't know, she's 14 in the first game, so she's in her mid-20s now. She's not naive in the first game, but she still has that...
She's still a kid.
Yeah, she's still a kid, and she still has that, things can be better attitude.
Yeah.
She is the light half of the pair.
Yeah.
And Joel is the one who has never gotten over his daughter dying, and is, the world is shit, and we just have to learn to live in it. And it's a vicious world, so we have to also be vicious. Ellie has taken that on. This is a straight-up revenge story.
And that's what surprised me the most is, I mean, yeah, they're still going to be the infected and whatnot.
Yeah.
But it's more about the people.
Well, and the first one was, too,
yeah.
At the end of the day. It's just that this, because you see, and I guess it's a common, not just zombie, although they don't like that, using zombies. Whatever, guys. It's a fucking zombie game.
Yeah.
Zombie literature and zombie movies and stuff is... The zombies are just there to show you what humans will turn into in that situation.
Yeah.
I think at its
worse.
At its best, that's the idea of The Walking Dead. notice I said its best. But yes, I think it's more focused... Excuse me on that here, or at least that's what the front facing, you know, what we're seeing so far, is that Ellie's not a great person, or you know, she has been embittered. Now, I personally think that they're pulling a little fakeroo on who actually is dying, because if you're led to believe it's her girlfriend.
Yeah,
she's been in all the promo stuff, and that you know they start off the first thing I notice while they're sitting in the bedroom talking. They use the same cones that I do. And it was like, still using raw cones in the zombie apocalypse.
Yep.
Good for you guys.
Yep.
So
they found themselves a supply truck.
Yeah, they found a truck of you know, boxes of the...
I was gonna say, where is their production facilities? Where does this game take place?
we had to cross-reference that. I got a fucking box of 900 of them in that drawer over there. You know, not led to believe. It's obvious someone is killed, and she is straight up seeking revenge.
Yep.
And I watched a little thing after PlayStation All Access, or whatever the hell they call it, where it showed some of the differences from the last game, one of which you can now go prone, which you couldn't do in the last game, so that opens up a whole new... all new avenues for like stealth play and stuff. Ellie can jump, which was a funny thing that you couldn't do in the first game was jump. So that adds some verticality, I guess, to the levels, along with what you said is like, there are, what I got the impression is there are more sections like the section that they go into with the two brothers.
Yeah.
Where you go into that neighborhood and you can literally search every house.
Yeah.
I feel like that's going to be everything now.
Yeah.
Or every area is going to feel that big. Because that area feels big and it really isn't.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's going to be all of the areas in the game now. What was the other thing? Oh, now there are... It's interesting because you have the humans to watch out for. You have the clickers, which is based on sound. But now there are dogs, and you leave a scent trail.
Yeah.
So you can't just... You can't be hiding 2 inches away and have them walk by you. They're going to smell you.
Yeah.
So that adds... Because one of the articles I saw this week was... This is something like, let's get it out of the way right now, guys. You're going to kill a lot of dogs in The Last of Us Part 2. Get ready. Because I guess also what they do is, I mean, you wouldn't expect anything less from them. When you kill a dog, mm-hmm. the master, like, breaks down crying, and because it's his dog. Aww. And then also, if you kill a human and the dog comes back, the dog will sit there and whimper and nudge it. And
Jesus.
Like, come on, just come on. You make me not want to do this.
Yeah. That's brutal.
But that's the idea. That's why they made...
They want to make you feel it.
That's why they made the chokeout animation from the first game was like, every time you did it, you're like, Jesus Christ, just... Can't the guy just die? Why does they have to struggle every time? Yep. Because they would struggle every time. This isn't supposed to be easy. You're not supposed to be enjoying this. That's what made it so mm-hmm. great. But, yeah, it's a lot more of that. Mm-hmm. And then the big reveal at the end that, again, everyone knew was coming. Because Joel had not been seen in any promotional stuff whatsoever from the get-go. He's there.
Yeah. Looking weathered, like a man should.
Yes, yes, not looking like
somehow
Sly Stallone.
Somehow he looked less fake than Sly Stallone.
Yes, the Joel looks more real than the real Sylvester Stallone's face does currently. Now, what I was going to mention about the digital was when I said I had a digital story to go on top of my Cold Pursuit purchase that I'm super excited about, is I wanted to make sure, because I knew for a collector's edition, they're going to make another little statue that'll be along the same lines as the one from the first one. So I had to order it, but... It sucks because, you know, the two things I wanted, I want the statue and I want the steel book, but I also want the game digitally.
Yeah.
I'm not going to buy it again.
Now, did you have to order that, like, right from Naughty Dog? Because I haven't seen any listings for
it. I actually, believe it or not, I got it on Best Buy.
Oh, well.
I wasn't able to get it. I checked Amazon first because I was certain that Best Buy would be sold out before Amazon would be. And then I remembered when Best Buy, because I've been buying my games digitally, because mm-hmm. Best Buy had that Gamers Club that you get 20% off all new games, and that includes collector's editions. Surprise, surprise, this was a big money loser for Best Buy, so they discontinued it.
Which is weird, because they seemingly have made all kinds of good financial decisions.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But the... when they announced that they were discontinuing it, they said, but we will honor everyone's membership for as long as they...
They still do have a collector's edition on there.
On Best Buy?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
There's an Ellie edition PlayStation 4?
Wait, show me that. Is it a...
Is it just a PlayStation
4? I wonder... I don't know. I don't know what that is.
Let me click and see.
Because I was thinking that by the time it rolls around, maybe there will be a Last of Us 2 PS4 Pro bundle where the game will already be installed on the PS4.
A 12-inch Ellie statue.
Yes.
A 48-page mini art book from Dark Horse. 7-inch vinyl record.
Wait, show me that.
It doesn't show anything.
Oh. Were they
art print and thank you letter.
Were they the same price?
No. This was like $229.
Okay, because
replica of Ellie's backpack, a replica of her bracelet, set of 6 enamel pins and 5 stickers, steel bookcase, and the Last of Us 2 logo patch.
What is, because the one, I bought the $169 one.
Yes.
Which I think is just collector's edition. I guess I didn't look very close. I didn't even realize that they were two separate things.
I don't know if I need a replica of her backpack.
Yeah, no, I don't either. That's kind of like the Fallout 4 thing.
Oh, it's unavailable right now. Not available in stores, not available for online order. Coming soon is what it tells you.
Then I literally ordered it yesterday.
Wow.
So maybe I got the last one, Dan.
You might have.
So
you got the last one of the last one.
So what is the what does that include? Because that has the I know it has the statue. That's all I really noticed.
Statue, art book, lithograph, the bracelet, the enamel pins and the sticker, and the steel bookcase. So you don't.
So everything but the bag.
Everything but the backpack.
And the vinyl.
And the vinyl.
Which I could do without both. I'd way rather have the vinyl than the backpack. But
what am I going to do with the kid's backpack?
Fucking nothing. Give it to someone.
Send it to Tilly for Surfer's Day.
Yeah. Is that blood? No. Don't worry about it. Yeah. So for because I think mine. So anyway, long story short, I still got the 20% off.
And the other one is not available right now either.
I wonder if it was yesterday. Yeah, so I ended up paying, is it $169 for the collectors?
$169,
yeah. Yeah, so I ended up paying like $134 or something. Let's see. Yeah, $135.99. And it's... Thanks for my pre-order. Yeah, so that's that'll be exciting. And it says it will be here day of, so it better be. Or... I probably will panic buy the digital version and not... Well, kind of like... Well, that would be not too far off from what I did with Fear Inoculum because I bought that digitally and then my actual copy didn't come until like the following Tuesday or something.
Check Barnes & Noble.
Speaking of that, yeah. Speaking of... are you going to try to order one?
I would actually like one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Get the big one so you can have that backpack. and, well, the next thing is just to check eBay and see what the pre-orders are selling for from the assholes.
Probably insane amounts.
I know that when I got the last one, or from the first game, the collector's edition, it was $150, I think. And the day after I pre-ordered it, they were selling on eBay for $300.
God damn.
So, and I don't know what it goes for now, but especially an unopened one. Maybe that'll be something. I'll look that up. But I know a couple of years ago, the statue by itself was selling for $300. Although the top of my Ellie's gun barrel has snapped off and it's taped to the back of it. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. I don't know how it happened. But in any event, I mean, I'm not going to sell it anyway, so it doesn't really matter how much it's worth. But
Wes, they don't even carry them.
Barnes & Noble?
Does not carry video games.
Huh.
Hmm.
Check Amazon again just to see, because when I went on...
Yeah, nothing.
Because the listings were even weird. And maybe I was just confused by the Ellie edition, because I didn't even realize that was a thing. But all of those things were announced, and whatever day that presser was, Wednesday maybe? So it was actually pretty fortunate that I was able to pre-order it yesterday or the day before or whatever day it was. All the days bleed together now, so I don't... For all I know, I ordered this 2 weeks ago. So they lasted longer, because I remember when I got mine... Ooh, you know where you should check? Is GameStop.
Oh, yeah.
Because people forget they still exist. Because that's actually where I had to get that, was GameStop, because it was sold out on Best Buy, now that I'm thinking back to 2013. Yeah, they might have it. In any event, do we have anything else?
No.
Okay.
No, like I said, for... A two-week break, nothing much happened.
No. Oh, we didn't talk about the Spider-Man thing.
Oh, yeah.
And we didn't even really talk about it when the breakup happened.
Well, that's because I think us and everyone everywhere knew it wasn't going to...
Because it just seems so... what we're talking about is a couple weeks ago, Sony and Marvel didn't reach a deal to extend the Spider-Man and the MCU stuff. Because the original one was for however many films there have been.
Oh, yeah.
That contract was up and they had to do a new agreement and they couldn't come to an agreement. And both sides, clearly just for leveraging purposes, were saying, nope, that's it, we're done.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know, how hard does the conversation have to be between two people when it's like, okay, if we agree, then we'll both make $1 billion.
Yeah.
If we don't, neither of us will.
Yeah.
That's not a hard decision to make. It's silly that it was even...
Yeah.
I would be embarrassed that it even made the news.
And, I mean, it's not like they came to a long-term agreement. It was one film each. you know.
Oh, is that all the extension
right,
is?
Right now, yeah. There's going to be one Marvel Universe film, one Spider-Man film. But, again, that's just biding time for another agreement, really.
Well, also, it does benefit, it benefits Sony, mm-hmm. because one, they had been shitting all over the franchise for 2 decades now. Well, since whenever 3 came out, which was like 2004-ish.
Jesus. Yeah.
Around there, maybe 2005, 6. The whole Amazing Ones, that was just wrong casting all the way around, I think. In every, almost every conceivable character was cast incorrectly. But I think that this is partially so that, because the reason I think it benefits Sony more is because, yeah, they'd been fucking it up, but also they can also use MCU villains if needed, if they wanted.
They get Happy Hogan back.
Yeah, exactly. That was a big loss. I didn't even think about that, but yeah, it's not. It's like the least surprising news ever. What happened?
I think he's dead.
Is that your guy?
Yeah, I think he's dead. They fucked him up. He was scrambling across the middle and didn't slide.
Oh, and that's got not a good idea.
But it looked helmet to helmet.
They seem to be moving him around a lot, so it. I think he's okay.
Yeah.
Oh well.
But Jesus, he got hit hard.
He'll bounce back. He's a tough kid, I think.
sure.
Done?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll hopefully have watched some stuff.
Right,
we'll end on Josh Allen getting smoked.
Right there.
Yeah, he took that one right in the face mask.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Bye.